Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How foolish. I mean, seriously, how foolish. Picture this, okay? A 5-foot-high plywood, nail-infested homemade bicycle ramp, and a 10-year-old self-proclaimed daredevil foolish enough to think that this scenario could work out for good. My friend Doug and I had absolutely no idea what we were doing. Doug only knew he wasn't foolish enough to try this stunt first. Wise kid. So there I am, lining up about 50 yards behind this ramp, picturing myself sailing up and over the ramp and landing perfectly, popping a wheelie, just for good measure, right? Ah, a glorious vision. So I had good speed. I mean, I was really moving. And as I approached the ramp, something shiny caught my eye right as it caught my wheel. And as I turned sideways 6 feet up in the air, I knew the glorious vision of that prideful wheelie would not occur. No. I crashed hard to the pavement, a broken right collarbone almost piercing my skin. I was in great, great pain, bordering on despair. Baseball season over, and I see my mom. I see my mom walking quickly, quickly from the house, and she gives me that look, you know, like moms do. And she leans down over me, and before attending to me, she surveys the scene, shakes her head, and says, "How foolish, Tim. How foolish." Would have been nice to know that a few minutes ago. But thanks a lot, Mom. No, how foolish. Two men on a journey. A journey of despair, feeding off their mutual despair. And they are in despair because they'd been with Jesus. The healings, the teaching, the promises. Ah, a glorious vision. A glorious vision that has left them in despair, running from possible trouble, ignoring all stories of joy and hope, forgetting the promises. How foolish. How foolish. The journey has not been what he had expected. He had a glorious vision, a wonderful vision, a perpetually happy marriage. And yet now, spiteful words, cruel looks, sleepless nights wondering why the feeling of love left, ignoring that they need any type of help, no repentance either side. And in his sin of pride, he forgets the promise that he made not only to his wife, but to God. And he finds no other way, and he must say, "I want out. Give me out. I can't do this anymore. I want a divorce." How foolish. How foolish. She can't believe her journey has led her to this point. She can't believe what she's done. She thought this man would be with her and take care of her, provide for her, cherish her. And yet she still has apprehension as she comes before him and says, "Honey, I'm pregnant." And she knew they had made a mistake. She knew this was all out of whack with God's plan. But she still had a glorious vision. A vision of one day marriage and maybe parenthood. But no. "No," he coldly says, "you know what to do." And she did it. And now the vision of her dead and murdered child haunts her dreams. She wants out. She wants out. She doesn't know where to turn. And she used to attend a local church, but she thinks that if she went there now, they'd only be judgmental. How foolish. How foolish. He wants the journey to end. He wants the journey to end. He's been depressed. Depressed for a long, long time. And no one close to him knows how to help. And in his pride, he doesn't want to seek professional counsel. He's blind. He's blind to future hope and joy. And the evil one keeps whispering in his ear over and over again, there's only one way to remove the despair. How foolish. How foolish. Do you recognize any of these people? Maybe you don't right now. Maybe you're like me, and like me, you've been in this wonderful institution for a little while, seemingly locked up in a realm of books, and you've forgotten somehow what people in despair look like. Luke is using this story today to remind us. They're on the journey of life, and they had glorious visions of what this life could be, and yet now they're getting beat up. They're in despair. They're in some sort of fog. They're blind. They need help, don't they? Will they seek it? A better question is, will you give it? Two men on a journey of despair. Now, misery loves company, doesn't it? And their visitor comes up to them, and he asks them, what are you talking about? And they freeze. They freeze in despair and dumbfounded. Hopelessness is written all over their faces. Why? Because it's been a rough couple of days, and sarcasm can't help but spew from one of their mouths. Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? And we, right? We, the privileged reader of the text, we want to shake these disciples up a little bit, don't we? We want to say, how foolish, boys, because he knows. Oh, does he know? But he wants to know more. He wants to know more. My question is, do you want to know more? Do you want to get down and dirty in the despair of many of God's people? Because, you know, this seems foolish. I mean, I don't want to hear this stuff. I'll be affected. You know, better yet, just let me live in my seminary, or maybe, God forbid, even my local future parish, and pretend like everything is just fine. Well, it's not. It's not. Sin, death, and the devil. And these three are not just some catchphrases that we kind of throw around here. No, this evil trinity is alive and well for a time, and it is bringing despair to those in the midst of their journey. I know we'll be tempted. We'll be tempted, won't we? Won't we, to only seek and relate to those people who seemingly have their lives all together. Why? Because it's easier to be around those people. But you know, truth be told, maybe sometimes you and I, we sinfully despair over our seeming lack of effectiveness at bringing God's word to the broken and the blind. Or maybe that's just me, but either way, it's foolish, right? Two men on a journey of despair, and a listening ear. Well, they think as their hopeless eyes meet, he asked for it. The anguish on their faces plainly betray their despair. And you know how this is. They're in despair, and they're talking one right on top of the other, practically spitting out their story. Jesus, a prophet, mighty in word and deed. Our leaders handed him over, condemned to death, crucified, buried. And they stop as their eyes meet. And Cleopas speaks for them both, disclosing the primary reason for their despair. But we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Their downtrodden faces and feet running from Jerusalem, and all they've thought this entire time is how foolish for us to believe that this man would save us, redeem us, and our people. How foolish. Sure, we heard some kind of story about the women and Peter going to the tomb and angels and the body not being there, an empty tomb. They're probably delusional. It's likely stolen. Whatever, you know. We had hoped. We had hoped. Now we're in despair. And you know, you'd expect Jesus to empathize with those in despair, right? Say something like, "I'm sorry for your pain," or even, "Look, it's me. It's all good." But no. No, Jesus condemns their despair because they forgot the promise. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And Jesus, this is amazing, but Jesus then proceeds to give one of the greatest apologetic and exegetical analyses for himself based in the Old Testament that has probably ever been known. And I would have loved to listen in, wouldn't you? Now, we don't know exactly what he said, do we? We don't know exactly what he said, but somehow, whatever he said led the disciples from a journey of despair to a journey of hope, all because of his journey. His journey from the manger to the cross. His journey to hell and back. His journey to defeat sin, death, and the devil. And his journey to fulfill all of the scriptures. And his journey, friends, his journey to rise and to meet them at that time and at that moment and proclaim that there was no reason to despair. He was right there with them. And we don't know. We don't know, as the text says, right, that their eyes weren't necessarily opened at that moment. But as they look back, we can say their hearts were burning. And as Jesus breaks the bread and opens their eyes, they must have thought back to their prior despair, shook their heads and said, "Aw, how foolish, how foolish." Seriously, how foolish. The guilt over not doing more only makes him feel more foolish. And you wouldn't know it by looking at his happy face and his go-lucky countenance most of the time. I wouldn't let you. But inside, my heart is burning with intermittent, undoubtedly evil feelings of inadequacy. Inadequacy because I'm just one guy, one exceptionally normal guy, and there are millions in despair with millions of issues, millions who need Jesus. I mean, seriously, what can I do? And plus, I've been hiding behind books and theology for 3 of the last 4 years when there are people dying outside of this place who needs Jesus. You know what, friends? Sometimes I listen to this evil voice. How foolish. Luke is using this story today not only to help us see other people in despair on their journey, but ourselves as well. Sometimes foolish? Yeah. A need to despair? Never. Remember the promise, both for us and Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago on that infamous road to Emmaus. He's right there with you on your journey. And he wants to use you. And after reading this story, I'm left saying, how foolish of me to think that God would call me in baptism, place a desire in my heart to proclaim the cross and the empty tomb. Bless me. He would bless me in so many ways. And yet he would leave me in despair at the weight of my task? No, absolutely not. He says, but first he says, my story. This story is bigger. It's a lot bigger than you, one man. And my story is being proclaimed by many. And my eternal will certainly be done. But I want to use you. I want to use you to proclaim my word to those who are in despair on the journey of life. Oh, and don't despair. I'll be right there with you on your journey. It is my spirit burning within your heart, causing your heart to gleam, your eyes to gleam. It is my spirit that is burned friends. It is my spirit that has burned, that has led you to this place to learn about me at this time. And don't doubt. Don't doubt for one second that it will be my spirit that will lead you from this place to bring what only I can bring, my promises, my hope, my joy to those that are in despair. Oh, don't be foolish. Be faithful. Be faithful. And so we're called to be faithful, right? Faithful in prayer, faithful in his word, faithful to put his word to practice by going to those who are in despair at the work of the evil Trinity. And friends, you'll be tempted to despair. It's not going to be easy, but it is in those moments, that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to you and he says again and again and again, don't be foolish. Be faithful, for it is finished. The cross and the empty tomb remind us not only of who the victor is over sin, death, and the devil, but they remind us that our life of faithfulness in service to Jesus Christ, that this life of faithfulness, this amazing journey, is in a sense just beginning. A vision. A glorious vision. Many, many, many faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And what are we doing? We're running. We're running like fools. We're running with burning hearts opened by the word of God. We're running to our friends and our families, into our neighbors and our communities. We're running into future parishes full of many of God's people, some of whom are living in despair on their journey. And we are saying exactly what the disciples said over 2,000 years ago on the Emmaus Road as they went back to Jerusalem. We are saying the Lord is risen. And this message, friends, this message, I don't know if you heard me, but this message leaves absolutely no room for despair. The Lord is risen. Oh, don't hesitate, friends. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. May God grant that each of us here may be called that type of a fool. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.